A senator is now under trouble because of allegation that he resorted to plagiarism. And earlier to this, it was a Supreme Court justice who faced investigation for the same offense. In law, plagiarism is literary theft to present as new and original an idea or product derived from an existing source. This is rooted in the concept of intellectual property, analogous to material property. Kung meron kang pag-aari na material at kinuha ng iba't inangkin, ito ay salang pagnanakaw. Ay may ganyang katumbas pagdating sa pag-aaring intelektual kapag inangkin mo gayong may ibang ideya o pag-aaring ideya na yan ng ibang tao, yan ang tinatawag na plagiarism, pangungopya o paggamit ng ideya ng iba. Now, I believe that intellectual honesty requires that we acknowledge our source if we have any. This is basic and fundamental to scholarship. When you cite somebody else's thought, you cite it in a footnote, an endnote. You have your bibliography because it is basic honesty that we acknowledge our sources. But when it comes to the message of the church, we are not concerned about plagiarism at all. On the contrary, we want the message to be replicated as many times as possible to all generations. Wala tayong problema na kopyahin ang mensahe ulit-ulitin sa iba't ibang henerasyon sapagkat ninanais natin na kumalat ang mensahe sa pinakamalawak na paraan. So plagiarism to us is not a concern. The church and its message are among those that God intends to be throughout all generations. And this is something that we include, therefore, in this anniversary month of consideration where we are addressing the theme from generation to generation. We said there are certain things that God intends to be perpetual from generation to generation. Now, I explain to you what I mean by this expression from generation to generation as I am using specific texts that use this expression explicitly. The primary sense of this expression is that the succession of generations, one generation gives way to the next generation. The old gives way to the young grows old, and then the old gives way to the new young generation. And that is the primary sense of that expression. But I am also using this secondarily to denote the mixture of generations in the church. Ginagamit ko rin ang mga salitang yan upang tukuyin ang ating karanasan bilang iglesia. Sa maraming taon nating ginugol, ang ating iglesia, bagamat nagsimula sa iglesia ng mga kabataan at mga estudyante, sa mahabang panahon ay nagkahalo-halo na ang mga henerasyon upang ipakita na ang daladala nating mensahe, ang ating Diyos na sinasamba, ay Diyos ng lahat. Mensahe para sa lahat ng henerasyon. And so, in our experience, beginning with a batch of young people since then, we are blending other generations. And in this anniversary month, we are steering our consciousness on this theme. What things does God intend to be perpetual for all generations and present in every generation? We saw in our first message, the worship of God is the distinguishing character of the people of God from generation to generation. Yung una nating mensahe ay ang pagsamba sa Diyos ang natatanging karakter ng tunay na mga tao ng Diyos sa lahat ng henerasyon. At nung nakaraang linggo, we saw the kingdom of God is the ultimate authority in the world from generation to generation. Ang kaharian ng Diyos, ang ultimong autoridad o pamamahala sa mundo sa lahat ng mga henerasyon. For our concluding message, we come back to the thought of the church. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. We concentrate on verses 20 and 21, but let's begin reading from verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Verses 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Dito makikita natin muli ang salitang ating ginagawang tema, lahat ng henerasyon. At sa pagkakataong ito, ang lahat ng henerasyon na sinabi rito na naroon pa rin, anumang henerasyon, ay ang Iglesia ng Diyos. Now, from the beginning of this letter of Paul to the Ephesians, back to chapter 1, he has been making a profound presentation of God's gracious plan, which has found fulfillment in Christ. And throughout this presentation, he is applying it to the church. And such thoughts evoke this prayer that we read in verse 14. Dahil sa kagandahan ng plano ng Diyos sa kanyang biyaya tungo sa isa pagkakaangkop nito sa iglesia, si Apostol Pablo bilang tugon sa napakagandang plano ng Diyos ay dumalangin. At ito ang nabasa natin mula sa talatang 14. And each component of the prayer is worth a whole exposition. These are profound, very deep concepts. But we will be concentrating on the doxology. The concluding utterance in verses 20 and 21 is meant to be corporate. This is now for the whole church. You will note from verse 14 to verse 19, Paul's prayer is individual. He uses I bow my knees. But verses 20 and 21 are doxological. They are utterance of worship intended to be corporate. This is now the church's response. Verses 14 to 19 present Paul's response. Verses 20 and 21 is the response that the church ought to make when you are presented with this profound, gracious plan of God. What should be the church's response? This is the response by way of doxology. Throughout all generations. And these are overwhelming issues. God's power, God's glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet stuck between all these profound issues, the church. We've been discussing throughout these 3 weeks of testimonies how it is true the church has its flaws. May mga kapintasan ng iglesia at yun ay katotohanan. Ngunit tingnan ninyo ang iglesia na alam nating may kapintasan at maraming mga bagay pang dapat na baguhin at isulong sa kanyang pagiging iglesia, inilagay siyang kasama't kahanay ng kalwalhatian ng Diyos, kapangyarihan ng Diyos, Panginoong Hesukristo, biglang andoon ang iglesia. Eh kung tayo ginawa itong quiz, what does not belong? Alam na agad natin, hindi dapat dyan ang iglesia. Mga perpekto yan. Bakit nariyan ang iglesia? Pero that precisely is the beauty of this. That in the same line of the glory of God, the power of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, you have stuck the church. This is my message for this concluding message in this brief series. The church is the residence of God's glory in Christ. From generation to generation. The church is the residence of God's glory in Christ from generation to generation. Ang iglesia ang tahanan ng kaluwalhatian ng Diyos kay Kristo sa lahat ng mga henerasyon. Kung hanapin mo saan ang kaluwalhatian ng Diyos, ang sagot rito ni Pablo ay hanapin mo ang kaluwalhatian ng Diyos kay Kristo na nananahan sa iglesia dito sa mundo. Now, the church that is spoken of here in our text is the universal church. That is that one church composed of all believers at any one time in the world. But to the extent that the local church is a faithful, not perfect, but faithful manifestation of the universal church, what is being said of the universal church is also being said of every true local church. That even a local church faithfully representing the universal church is the residence of God's glory in Christ, and for 31 years, with much struggles and bumpy road along the way, we are seeking to be a faithful church where we are, and we seek to be that residence of God's glory in Christ where we are. Two thoughts that I want to draw from this. First, God's glory in Christ is superior to other glories. God's glory in Christ is superior to other glories. Ang kaluwalhatian ng Diyos kay Kristo ay nakahihigit sa anumang uri ng kaluwalhatian. And secondly, God's glory in church is exclusive of other groupings. God's glory in church is exclusive of other groupings. Ang kaluwalhatian ng Diyos sa iglesia ay puwera sa ibang mga pangkatin. First of all then, consider, God's glory in Christ is superior to other glories. I speak of other glories because there are many displays of God's glory in all His creation that we should rightly admire. However, what I am asserting is this, God's glory is most excellently displayed in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a grand display of God's glory in His creation. We are told in Romans 1:20, God's power, God's deity are clear, made manifest by the things that are made. So when we look at creation, when we behold the beauty of the heavenly bodies, the stars in heaven, it is right for us to admire the wisdom of God. Whenever you are given the opportunity to behold creation in its sheer beauty in nature, admire God. Some of you may have the privilege of having the academic qualification to appreciate more the processes of nature, whether of heavenly bodies, vegetation, animals, and organisms, weather and seasons. Well, again, make use of that in order to admire the glory of God. Psalm 104 verse 24 tells us, O Lord, how manifold are your works in wisdom. You have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Kapag nakikita natin ang kagandahan ng nilikha ng Diyos sa kanyang kalikasan, yan man ay sa kalawakan, sa kalangitan, sa mga puno, sa mga bundok, sa lahat niyang nilikha, ipinapakita niya yung kanyang karunungan. Tama lang na tayo ay tumugon ng may paghanga, may pagsamba sa ating Diyos. This should be a stimulus for worship when we see the beauty of creation. And you see, one of the most dismaying spectacles are scientists to whom God lent gifts to study nature, and then they use it to deny God. It's a very dismaying spectacle. Besides creation, there is a remarkable display of God's glory in His work of providence. The outworking of events. Hangaan din natin ang kaluwalhatian ng Diyos sa kanyang providensya kapag nakikita mo kung paano kumikilos ang iba't ibang mga pangyayari na pinapatotohanan. Yung sinabi ng Romans 8:28 para sa mga banal, para sa mga anak niya, all things work together for good. Not all things are good. There are things that are bad and good, yet all things work together. You are beholding the wonder of providence. I'm a fond student of history, as you know. I have often found it astonishing the way events work out so beautifully. It's like a flawless tapestry. When you look at a tapestry, you see there are actually threads and colors. Left to themselves, they are meaningless. But combined together, they can form a beautiful picture. A tapestry of picture. Well, I see history as like that. Events in themselves seem so meaningless, even perhaps profoundly horrific, yet in the outworking of God's providential wisdom, you see something astonishing. And it is right for us to admire God's glory displayed in creation, God's glory displayed in providence. But I want to tell you of the greatest and most excellent display of the glory of God in the world. It has none of the grandeur of heavenly bodies and thick forests, none of the beauty of lovely flowers. Rather, that glory is displayed on the cross, where the Son of God took the equivalent of hell from the wrath of God. Ang pinakamagandang pagpapamalas ng kaluwalhatian ng Diyos ay wala sa dakilang kalikasan, wala sa magandang probidensya. Ang pinakadakilang pagpapakita ng kaluwalhatian ng Diyos ay ang kaganapan kay Jesucristo, yung kanyang kamatayan sa krus, yung kanyang pagkabuhay na muli, walang katulad ito. The death on the cross displays the love of God like nothing else does. It culminated in an empty tomb when Christ rose from the dead. He ascended to reign as Lord. And all the gracious plan of God for His people has this end in view. When Paul began expounding this gracious plan of God, he tells us at the opening of his letter to the Ephesians, in Ephesians 1:6, it is to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. If you exclaim the glory of God in the beauty of nature, if you exclaim the glory of God in the wonder of providence, brethren, the greatest display of the glory of God is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask you, do you know something of this gloriousness of God displayed in the gospel of Christ? You see, it is possible for a person to admire God in nature, admire God even in history, but it takes grace for anyone blind in his sin to open that blind eye and behold the wonder of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what we need, the appreciation of the real and the greatest glory, display of God's glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know better than I do that the most powerful source of energy is nuclear. We have that actually lying dormant in Bataan, and we're not using it because of fear. Now, it is not for me to judge whether the fear is misplaced or legitimate. But the point is that power is there, lying dormant, unused. Well, the greatest power that should energize the church is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let fear or a failure to appreciate make us short-sighted of the power displayed in the glory of God in Christ. My challenge, again, let me express by way of a prayer. May God's glory in Christ be the chief adoration of our church in its every generation. Sana ang kaluwalhatian ng Diyos kay Kristo ang pangunahing hinahangaan ng ating iglesia sa bawat nating henerasyon. Because that glory is not represented by the mighty display of nature, it is easy to miss it. Luther asserted or taught what is known in theology as the theology of the cross. By that he meant God's glory is masked by the weakness of the cross. It takes the eye of faith to see it. Ang nakikita lamang ng iba ay isang iskandalo. Paano ang isang tao ay pinako sa krus? They don't see glory there. They see scandal. They see folly. But to the eye of faith, he sees the glory of God better. The light of God's glory shimmering brighter than anywhere else upon the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So do you still have that believing eye to see the glory of God in the cross of Christ? You see, even the believing eye can be dazzled by so many things in this world that it gets blurred. And refresh yourself. Remind yourself. Whatever generation is represented in this church, Remind yourself that the greatest glory display of God is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I call upon you, dear seniors, kayong mga may edad sa maaring lumalabo ang inyong paningin, huwag sanang lumabo pagdating sa kaluwalhatian ng ating Panginoong Hesus Kristo. Even as your vision dims, let it not blur to the glory of God in Christ. I plead with you, impressionable youths, let not youthful gimmicks crowd out the place of Christ in your life. It is good to have plenty of friends in this age of social networking. You may have hundreds on your Facebook, but face the gospel of reconciliation. We achieving adults, let not the stress of work, the pull of career advance, push Christ away from its center of our lives. Let not the 31 years of the passage of time in this church decrease the splendor of God's glory in Christ, in the church. It is still our glory, our boast, that God chose to reside in His glory in Christ, in the church. Adoniram Judson, you know, was the missionary to Burma who was fruitful, and his name became famous in America because of what he has accomplished in Burma. So when his furlough came, he returned to America. He was invited to one church, and the church was full packed because of the name Adoniram Judson. After all, those were times when places like Asia were just an imagination to most people. Now, here was one who came from Asia, and they wanted to hear his adventures. Adoniram Judson began preaching the gospel. And then towards the end, the pastor of the church whispered to him, Mr. Judson, the people came to hear your adventures from a man who has come from the other side of the world. Mr. Judson answered, well, let them know that a man who has come from another side of the world has no more exciting subject than Jesus Christ. And that should be our attitude. This is indeed the most thrilling story of all, the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God's glory in Christ is superior to other glories. Do you still have that conviction? My second point, God's glory in church is exclusive of other groupings. Ang kaluwalhatian ng Diyos kay Kristo ay nananahan sa iglesia, hindi sa ibang mga pangkatin. That's what Paul says here, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Now I would have understood had the church been omitted and only Christ is left to display God's glory. In a manner of speaking, it would seem more appropriate. But Paul includes the church. Shall we defy it and say, well, the church has plenty of words, plenty of laws. Let Christ display the glory of God. Why should the church do it? Well, why did God design it that way? So it is upon the church that God chose that in this world, here on earth, His glory in Christ will reside in the church. God chose the church as the agency to display to the world His glory in Christ. Had it been decided by financial measures, the church may be the last to have been chosen as the agency of God's glory. If other factors were used, such as political influence, social level, well, again, the church would not likely land as the choice agency. But then God has a different design. Paul said it earlier in chapter 3, verse 10 of Ephesians, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. What is being displayed by the church is not political wisdom. It's not business wit. What the church is displaying is the wisdom of God. How on earth can a just God save sinners deserving of punishment? No amount of wisdom from politics or from business or from the academe can ever solve that puzzle. It took the wisdom of God to solve it. And now it is the church that must voice that wisdom. And it says, to all the principalities, rulers, and authorities. When Paul uses this expression, he means all forces out there. And all forces combined, they can never speak the wisdom of God in saving grace. It took the church, and God chose the church. All warts and faults and all, He chose the church to display His wisdom. What we have in the church in Paul's language is not business money, not academic degrees. What the church possesses, Paul says in verse 8 of chapter 3, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Ang hindi malirip na kayamanan ni Jesucristo. Yan ang pag-aari ng iglesia. Yan ang pinangahawakan ng iglesia. Wala man tayong antas ng akademiya, wala tayo ng impluensya ng politika, ang mayroon ang iglesia. Isama mo lahat ng kanyang kapintasan, ngunit kung yan ay iglesia ng Panginoon, ay kanyang tangan-tangan ang hindi malirip na kayamanan ni Jesucristo. This is what we are rich in. So I ask you, what is your attitude to the church? Shall we just lambast its flaws? But no other group has this. I say we should rather have the eyes of the Apostle Paul, the church possessing Christ, the hope of glory. During the campaign for the presidency in the last U.S. campaign, Barack Obama visited one of the campaign headquarters he has in one of the inner cities. And he himself began making phone calls to the voters. And those who received the calls, many of them could not believe that the President of the United States is actually talking to them from a lowly campaign headquarters. And some of them were shocked. Well, you see, the church is like that. The church is a lowly campaign headquarters, the local church. Our church is a lowly campaign headquarters of Christ. And from time to time, the power descends in order for Christ Himself to speak to lost sinners. And that's what we do. Therefore, my challenge expressed in prayer is, may every generation in our church contribute to the display of God's glory in Christ. Sana ang bawat henerasyon ng ating iglesia ay mag-ambag sa pagpapamalas ng kaluwalhatian ng Diyos kay Kristo. It is in Ephesians that we have some of the richest figures of the church as the body of Christ. Listen to 4:16. The whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Lumalago raw ang katawan kapag bawat bahagi ng katawan ay kumikilos nang naaayon sa interest ng katawan. Every part is working properly. Now I suggest for part, put generation. Every generation is working properly, contributing to the growth of the church. And again, I appeal to you, dear seniors, what beauty you display when you still bear fruit in old age, drawing others to Christ. Napakagandang pagmasdan kung ang ating mga senior ay nagpapatuloy sa paglago, hindi lamang napayapa sa kanilang retirement, kung hindi kinakasangkapan pa rin ng Panginoon upang lumago at magbunga at inaakit ang iba sa Panginoong Hesukristo. Energetic young people, you never run out of things and ideas, and that's good, but have much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Your music is not being taken away from you. Your youthful fun is not being scuttled. But remember your Creator in the days of your youth before troubled times come. Busy adults, you are making the most of it before retirement a few more years hence. Beware that in your search for riches and success, you become dull to what you already have. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Let the visitors who come here sense that this is the occupation of the church, to glorify God in Christ. This is the dignity of the church. No other group in this world is given this calling as residents of God's glory. And for 31 years, stumbling through rough and bumpy roads, we have sought to be such a residence. And no matter how poor the church compares to other organizations, to other groupings, no other grouping has the calling to be the residence of God's glory in Christ. They called ancient Rome the eternal city because they thought it seemed so permanent. It has existed for hundreds of years. But then in the year 410 AD, it was sacked by barbarians. And so the Roman Empire today is no more. But the church which Rome persecuted is still here. And it will be here from generation to generation. When that fall of Rome happened in 410 AD, it led a minister in Africa, which is now part of Algeria. Back then, it's still Christian, the city of Hippo. Augustine wrote what many consider his masterpiece, The City of God. There he argued that the church is not associated with or connected to the city of man. The permanence of the church is because it is connected to the city of God. Our glory is not what the city of man can give. Our dignity is not rooted in the city of man. Our wealth is not from what the city of man supplies. The glory of the church is for as long as we can see the greatest glory of God is His glory in Christ. And to the measure that we keep to that glory, there the church has its calling to be the residence of God's glory from generation to generation. So let all the generations of our church join in displaying the glory of God in Christ. Our last hymn is a reminder to us of the greatness of God's glory unequaled in the person of His Son. There is glory when we wonder and consider all the works Thy hand hath made. There is glory when through the woods and forest glades I wander, but no glory like when I think that God is Son, not sparing. And when Christ shall come with shout of joy, it is then more than nature, more than providence, it is because of Christ that we can exclaim to the highest sense possible. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos at Ama, tunay nga po na napakadakila ng iyong plano, ang iyong pagliligtas ay marapat lamang natugunan namin ng taus-pusong pagsamba na siyang ginawa ni Pablo sa aming binasang at pinag-aralang teksto. Gayunawa ang aming pagtugon, Panginoon, kung isipin namin ang mayaman at masaganang biyayang kumilos na siyang umabot sa amin mula sa aming kasamaan at kasalanan, at kami ay inangkin ng aming Panginoong Hesukristo. At ngayon, itinipon mo bilang iglesia, nagtipanan, at sa iglesyang tapat na ipinapahayag ang nag-iisang iglesia ng Panginoon sa lugar na ito, ay niloob mo na ito ang panahanan ng iyong kaluwalhatian kay Kristo. Father, as much as we exclaim your greatness from what we see in the beauty of creation, as much as we are astonished by your wisdom in the outworking of events in providence, the glory displayed on the cross of Christ from the empty tomb, and that ascended Lord and Savior now sitting and reigning in glory. Nothing can match that. It is superbly excellent. And may this be the real conviction of our hearts. It is possible for our eyes, believing as they are, to see this glory and yet blur it because of other things that dazzle us in this world. So grant, Lord, that we may take stocks of where we are as seniors, as young people, as achieving adults, wherever we are. It may be that some things are blurring our vision to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we refresh that glory. May it be our chief adoration in this church. And you have designed that it is through the church that your wisdom, the richness of your grace will be displayed to all rulers and principalities and authorities in this world. The lowly church that cannot compare in influence, in wealth, in power to other groupings of this world, yet to that lowly church you have given the vocation to display the power, the glory of God in Christ Jesus. May we continue to be such a church for all our flaws and warts and imperfections. It is to such a church that you choose to let your power descend and speak to the world, speak to sinners. Continue to make use of us in that light and challenge even our attitude to the church. Challenge the attitude of any here whose attitude may be one of contempt. Change it to a humble recognition that the church, for all its lowliness and imperfections, yet in our text it is stuck right here where Paul speaks of the power of God, the glory of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ. May we therefore honor the church in a way that is consistent with its high calling of displaying the glory of God in Christ, and help us to be a church to continue doing this. Thank you for preserving us these 31 years doing this, but we know all our imperfections and the need for us to grow. May we grow. And together as brethren, let every generation do its part for the growth of the body, so that we may fulfill our high calling of displaying the glory of God in Christ in this world. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.